Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, ready to talk sports with you on this beautiful, beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. Can you believe it's 76 degrees outside in February? Wow, what a beautiful Monday in Oklahoma. We have a big show planned for you today. We have a lot of sports to talk about. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's mauricetrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @TheDukeBoy100. That's @TheDukeBoy100. You can also like my Facebook page. Just put in Moe's Sports Talk in the search on Facebook, and you can like my Facebook page. You can also listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. So don't forget, you can listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. I believe the show is also available on iTunes as well. But like I said, we have a big show planned for today. We're going to recap the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk about some of the commercials that took place during the Super Bowl and also some of the movie. I have an interesting comment on Logan. Definitely want to talk about that for a minute. So we'll recap an amazing Super Bowl. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll talk NBA and college basketball as well. But let's talk Super Bowl, and let's talk about what took place last night between the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. The Patriots come back from 28-3 down with about, I think it was like 6 minutes left to go in the game. 6 minutes left to go, excuse me, in the third quarter, and they were down 28-3. And then I thought it was over. I got to be honest with you. You know, I picked the Patriots to win on Friday. I said, oh, man, I hate to go out like that with my Super Bowl prediction. I said, that's a horrible way to end with the Patriots getting blown out. I mean, it was ugly. The Falcons were playing just a step quicker than the Patriots. The Patriots, nothing could go right for them. They were turning the ball over. They were missing extra points. And then all of a sudden, something clicked for the Patriots, especially offensively. They win 34-28 in overtime, the greatest comeback ever in Super Bowl history. Tom Brady, he was 43 of 62 passing. He threw for 466 yards, two touchdowns, did have an interception, had a lot of drops as well. But he definitely struggled early with his accuracy, but he was big time in the second half. He threw for what? Over at 300 yards in the second half. He was a big-time performance there from Tom Brady, winning another MVP, and he deserved the MVP, throwing for 466 yards. He was getting roughed up, make no mistake about it. The Falcons, they were getting a lot of pressure on him. They were hitting him. They were sacking him. They were getting a lot of pressure on him, so it didn't look good at all until late for the Patriots. James White, he was a big difference maker for the Patriots. He had 139 total yards of offense, including 110 yards receiving, three total touchdowns, including the game-winning touchdown in overtime. So he was definitely an unsung hero for the Patriots. Danny Amendola, he had 78 yards receiving and a touchdown. Julian Edelman had 87 yards receiving. They had 546 total yards of offense. So that was impressive. Like I said, they really torched Atlanta. Some of that was Atlanta's defense was on the field too much. The Patriots had 93 plays. So Atlanta's defense got worn down, especially in that overtime. You have to give credit to the Patriots' defense as well. They came up with some big stops defensively in the fourth quarter. They had a big sack when and a forced fumble that set up a touchdown for the Patriots. And also they came up with a big sack when Atlanta was at the New England 23 late in the game when it was 28-20 and they had a chance to kick a field goal, which would have put them up 11. The Patriots' defense, they stepped up. They got a big sack, even though, like I said, it was a horrible play call. We'll talk about Atlanta in a minute. But that being said, you have to give credit to the Patriots' defense. They only gave up 21 points. And is that high-powered offense? That's saying something, because don't forget, the Tom Brady's interception was returned for a touchdown, so that was a big momentum play for Atlanta in that one. But all in all, I thought the Patriots defense played well. they did a great job of shutting down the run in the second half. Now, Atlanta, they really established the run in the first half. They were running wild over the Patriots, but the Patriots did a much better job of stopping the run. I was shocked how Atlanta was able to run the football. I knew Atlanta was going to score and they were going to have success offensively. I thought it was going to be just through the air. And also, you know, I was watching with my dad. He brought an interesting comment. He was talking about the Patriots' cleats. It looked like they were falling down on their own cleats. They didn't have the right cleats for the game, it didn't look like to me. There was a lot of Patriots were stumbling around. They were tripping over their own feet. And that definitely hurt them as well. They didn't have a lot of yards after catch because they were too busy falling down. Some of that obviously was Atlanta. They were sure tacklers in space, but some of that was the Patriots' cleat issues. Also, the Patriots, they were plus 17 minutes in time of possession, 39 first downs. Again, they wore out the Atlanta defense late in that game. They were just on the field way too much. Matt Ryan, he threw for 284 yards and two touchdowns. Devontae Freeman had 75 yards on the ground and a touchdown for Atlanta. He definitely ran the ball really effectively in the first half, but struggled in the second half. Julio Jones, only four catches for 87 yards. And some of that, Atlanta should have targeted Julio Jones more. But also you have to give credit to the Patriots secondary. They do a great job of Butler defending Julio Jones initially, and then he had safety help over top. So that made a big difference as well. Atlanta was 1 of 8 on third downs. The Patriots were 7 of 14. That was a big difference in the football game as well. The Patriots' ability to keep drives alive, and Atlanta's, especially in the second half, their inability to keep drives alive. You have to give credit, again, the Atlanta defense. They were really fast. They were really aggressive. Again, they got after Tom Brady. They had 5 sacks. They had, 14 or 15 hits on Tom Brady. So that was impressive. They forced 2 turnovers and turned those turnovers into 14 points. They played great. They definitely played well enough to win, but they struggled late. And again, they were on the field too much. And that led to the Patriots outscoring them. What was that? They outscored them 31-0 after the during the third quarter and the fourth quarter and the overtime, 31-0. And to me, some of that was poor clock management by Atlanta, especially when they were in field goal range. That, to me, was a horrible play call. Just run the ball and then kick a field goal, you're up by 11. But instead, you get greedy and you try to throw the ball downfield, and Matt Ryan gets sacked. And I know someone brought up on ESPN that Kyle Shanahan, who's the new 49ers coach, by the way, so I'm happy about that. Hopefully he'll bring some wins to the 49ers. But anyway, that he's been aggressive all year long. Yeah, that's true. But that being said, in that spot, you can't be aggressive in that spot. Just run the football, kick a field. You have a really good field goal kicker. You go up 11 with about three and a half minutes to go. You're going to win the game. Everything had to break right for the Patriots to win. I mean, everything had to go their way once they were down 28-3. I didn't think it was going to happen, especially when they missed after they missed an extra point to make it 28-9. They had to score 2 touchdowns plus get two-point conversion. What's the chances of that happening? I mean, that was amazing. But some of that had to do with Atlanta getting tight. I'm not going to say they choked. But I'm going to say they played really tight. And again, they made some poor decisions with their play calls, especially on the sack that led to the forced fumble. That was a 3rd and 1. You could have ran the football and got the 3rd and 1. And also, Matt Ryan, you can't take a sack in that situation when you're in field goal range, when you can make this score 31-20. You can't take a sack in that situation, but he took a sack. And that was a horrible decision, horrible play call, in my opinion. You got to run the football there and try to get that first down. And if you don't get the first down, it's okay because you kick a field goal, you're up by 11. So, but a great Super Bowl. I'm glad. Don't forget, I picked the Patriots 34-27. Can I get some props there? I was only 1 point off. I was a little lucky. I was a little fortunate, but still, listen to most sports talk and you will learn. So I told you at the beginning of the season that the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. I didn't care about I knew the Gronkowski injury was big. I told you, I still stuck with the Patriots during the playoffs. A lot of people said, no, they're not going to win without Gronkowski. Tom Brady's old. I've heard that. Stop it. Tom Brady, to me, he's definitely the greatest of all time, in my opinion. 5 Super Bowl rings. Bill Belichick, he'll go down to me as the greatest coach in NFL history. They cemented their legacies. I don't care too much about legacy talk, but they definitely cemented their legacy. It was funny seeing Roger Goodell. I thought he handled it pretty classy, given the trophies to Belichick and Tom Brady. I don't like the Patriots, how they say kind of act like they're victims, but give them credit. They're a big-time football team. They got the job done, and they win 34-28. If you want to give me your thoughts on the Super Bowl, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's talk about the commercials like we do every year. I was a little disappointed in the commercials. I did like the Skittles commercial when everyone's catching the Skittles, and the guy's trying to get the attention of the girl, and the mom's catching the Skittles, the dad, the police officer, the burglar, now the grandma, a gopher. That was pretty funny. It was a little random, but pretty funny, so I definitely enjoyed that. Also, enjoyed the Terry Bradshaw commercial when he has a stain on his shirt. That was funny. And I like the Melissa McCarthy commercial as well. She did a great job, by the way, on Saturday Night Live. That was a great skit with her playing Sean Spicer. That's how Saturday Night Live is supposed to be. That was really, really funny. I really enjoyed that. That was one of the best skits I've seen in a long time. That was just too funny. So if you check that out, just put in Melissa McCarthy. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Put in Melissa McCarthy, Sean Spicer. Maybe you'll find it there. But, again, that was funny as well. But those are the commercials that I liked. The movie previews. I like Transformers. That Baywatch looked interesting, but I don't think I'll watch that. Also, I already said Transformers. There's some The Fate of the Furious. If they don't take the Lord's name in vain, I plan on watching that. But I was disappointed that Logan got an R rating. Who in the world, whose bright idea was that? I've watched all the X-Men since it started, I believe, in 1998. How in the world are you going to make Logan rated R? How are you going to have brief nudity and that kind of violence in there? I had to put in my birthday just to see the uncensored preview. That's ridiculous. Whoever thought of that should slap themselves in the face. That was just a dumb idea. Yeah, let's make Logan rated R. X-Men shouldn't be rated R, okay? That is absolutely ridiculous. Whoever thought of that ideal, I mean, my goodness, that's just dumb. So that was very, very disappointing. But anyway, that's my thoughts on that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Ariana Grande. When we come back, we'll talk college basketball. I had an interesting weekend in college basketball, a lot of upsets. 6 of the top 10 teams were upset. We'll talk about it all after we take this quick break on Moe's First Talk.
The top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Boy, you made me feel you. So lucky. Finally, the stars align. Never has it been so easy to be alive and to get in this heart of mine. You know what I mean? I'm what you like.
Welcome back to Moe's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in world sports, you want to talk about the Super Bowl, you want to talk college basketball, you want to talk NBA, you want to talk about the fact that Logan shouldn't be rated R, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. Let's talk some college basketball. Let's talk about some of the big games that took place this weekend. I went 4-1 again, by the way, in my picks. We'll talk about the one game I was wrong on. But one game I was right on the money. My favorite team, the Duke Blue Devils, they outlast Pittsburgh, beat them 72-64. Grayson Allen, he scored 21 points. He also had 6 assists and 6 rebounds. He was big time down the stretch. He hit some big threes for Duke. Also, Emil Jefferson, he had 15 points and 9 rebounds. Jason Tatum had 12 points and 6 rebounds. Duke had 19 assists, so much better ball movement for Duke. They hit 11 threes. To me, they still need to get into the paint. Don't settle for that outside shot. But they did a great job not turning the ball over. Only 8 turnovers for Duke. For Pittsburgh, Michael Young, he scored 24 points, but they turned the ball over 18 times. So a really solid win there for Duke, and they have a big game coming up on Thursday night against North Carolina. It's good that Coach K is back on the sidelines healthy, so that was good to see. So I think Duke is starting to turn a corner. They're playing much better defense. That's going to be key going forward as a defense. I know they're going to score. They're too talented not to score, but the key for them is going to be can they get stops on the defensive end. So we'll see if they can do that. We had, again, it was a bunch of upsets. In the ACC, Syracuse, they stunned Virginia, beat them 66-62. Aaron Wright scored 23 points. Tyus Battle had 23. They shot 55% from the field to Syracuse, and that's saying something against that Virginia defense. Cal Guy, he had 14 points for Virginia, and they hit 12 threes, but they turned the ball over 15 times. So a tough loss for Virginia. And that, again, that's my issue with Virginia. They're going to play great defense, but are they going to score enough? Are they going to score enough? 62 points, sometimes that's not enough. It puts too much pressure on your defense, and it was costly there for them against Syracuse. Also, Purdue, in a battle of top 25 teams in the Big Ten, Purdue slips past Maryland. They beat them 73-72. Caleb Swanigan, he had a double-double, 26 points and 10 rebounds. He's a double-double machine. Also, they hit 9 threes. Milo Trimble, he scored 22 points, but on 4 of 15 shooting, so he didn't shoot the ball well. He did a great job of getting the free throw line, but they shot as a team just 40%, 4 of 19 from 3, so excellent defense by the Purdue Boilermakers in that one. Also, I was really shocked about this one in the Big 12. Iowa State, they go to Lawrence, Kansas, and they stun Kansas, ending their 54-game winning streak, beating them 92-89 in overtime. DeAndre Burton, 29 points. He had 7 threes. Monte Morris added 25 points and 7 assists. Nas Long had 22 points. He had 6 threes. They hit 18 of 34 from the three-point line. My goodness, they were on fire. That three-point line, if you can knock them down like that, you can win anywhere. They shot 50% from the field as well. Kansas defense just was not good enough, especially the perimeter defense. Frey Mason, he scored 32 points, and they shot 50% themselves. They hit 10 threes, but they had 21 turnovers. And they were plus 20 on the glass and still lost. Iowa State was hot. I mean, Iowa State, they can beat anyone in the country, and they can lose to anyone in the country, but that was what a big-time upset there. And also in the Big 12, Kansas State, they stunned Baylor, beating them on the road 56-54. They led by 19 points in the game. Camus Stokes, he had 15 points. Dean Wade added 12 for Kansas State. Solid defense for them in that game. But Jonathan Motley, he had a double-double, 17 points and 14 rebounds. But they shot just 39%. They had 16 turnovers, did the Baylor Bears in that one. So a great win there for Kansas State. To me, they look like a tournament team. Nice win there for them. A game I told you I was right on the money about. I told you Oregon would beat Arizona. I didn't think they would dismantle Arizona like they did. They won 85-58. Tyler Dorsey scored 23 points. Dylan Brooks, he scored 18 points. They shot 65% from the field. They hit 16 threes. Again, when you can make that three-point shot, and they had a lot of wide-open looks. Arizona's defense, and they've played really great defense all season long, but they really struggle, especially their perimeter defense. Roy Alkins, he scored 16 points for Arizona, but they shot just 43% from the field. They were 5 of 17 from threes. And the other teams hit 16 threes. Oregon was on fire. That was an unbelievable game for the Oregon Ducks. They have a big game Thursday night against they play UCLA. That'll be good on Thursday night, but a great win there for Oregon in the Pac-12. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything with Rules Sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. The one game I was wrong about, I told you that West Virginia would beat Oklahoma State at home. That did not happen. Oklahoma State, they stayed hot. They've won 5 games in a row. They beat West Virginia 82-74. Jeffrey Carroll, he scored 20 points. Juwan Evans had 20 points and 5 assists. They shot 63%. And again, that's saying something against that West Virginia defense. Normally, teams don't shoot 63% against West Virginia defense. They turned the ball over 19 times, but still got the job done because, like I said, they did a great job of getting to the paint. They dominated on the glass as well. West Virginia was out-rebounded by 14 Lamont West scored 21 points off the bench for West Virginia, but the starters for West Virginia really struggled. They only scored 28 points for all their starters. So really impressive win for Oklahoma State. They're playing much better defense than they did at the beginning of this season when they went to that stretch when they were losing games. They're doing a great job of not laying back a little bit on the full court press, staying in that half court defense. They're playing some excellent defense right now. And to me, if Oklahoma State can get to 8-10, if they get to 9-9 in league play, they have 10 games. They're 4-6. They have 8 games left, so if they can. If they go 5-3 or 4-4 in their last 8 games, I believe they're going to make the NCAA tournament. That would be great for this state. At least we have one team that will make the tournament. Because OU, they're not making the tournament. Texas Tech, they defeated OU 77-69. Aaron Ross, he scored 18 points for Texas Tech. They did a great job of getting to the free throw line. They were 17-20 from the free throw line. OU only attempted 3 free throws, so that was a big difference in that basketball game. So definitely a rebuilding year for OU, to say the least. I told you that the Florida Gators would win in the Swamp. Listen to most sports talk, you'll learn. Florida, they dominate Kentucky, 88-66. Casey Hill, 21 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. Devin Robinson added 16. I knew he was going to have a big game. And Canyon Berry, son of Rick Berry, he scored 14 points. They hit 10 threes, Florida, and also they did a great job of getting out in transition, getting easy buckets in transition. For Kentucky, De'Aaron Fox, he scored 19 points. Malik Monk, he struggled on his birthday. He only scored 11 points on 4 of 14 shooting. They only shot 38% from the field, and again, Florida's defense was great, and they did a great job on the glass. They were plus 22 on the glass. Watch out for Florida. That Duke has a win over Florida. That win is looking much better every day because Florida's playing some great basketball right now, and then finally, a game that was moved to Sunday because of a water main break in Chapel Hill. North Carolina beats Notre Dame 83-76. Justin Jackson scored 16 points. So a nice win there for North Carolina as they get ready to take on Duke. We'll definitely talk about that on my next show on Friday, God's will. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack. And when we come back, we're going to talk some NBA. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Man.
Don't shine. Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one-eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Yeah. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never feared that battalion.
Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. Let's talk some NBA. Let's talk about some of the games that took place this weekend in the NBA. On Friday night, Oklahoma City got a really great win, getting past Memphis 114-102. Russell Westbrook had another triple-double. What else is new? He scored 38 points. He was 8-20. He shot 8-20, so that's not bad. He had 13 rebounds and 12 assists. He went on a personal 12-0 run to end the game. He scored the team, Oklahoma City's last 15 points. What a special performance by Russell Westbrook. He hit some big-time threes. He got to the basket. He willed Oklahoma City that victory. That was big. Steven Adams, he scored 16 points at 12 rebounds. Jeffrey LaVerge, he had 16 points as well. Anthony Morrow getting more playing time, like we said on Mo's Sports Talk. He scored 15 points as well. Great first-half defense by Oklahoma City. They did a great job. Defensively, and the perimeter defense was excellent. They held Memphis to 3 of 19 from the three-point line. And also, Oklahoma City was plus 17 on the glass. So that's saying something when you can out-rebound Memphis, because Memphis is known for their grinded-out style. They do a great job of beating you down on the boards. But Oklahoma City, dominated on the glass on Friday night. Marcus Gasol, he had a great game. He's playing some unbelievable basketball. He had 31 points and 8 assists. Mike Conley scored 18 points, but they they were outgrinded by Oklahoma City again. Oklahoma City dominated on the glass. They were just a little – they were tougher than Memphis on Friday night. That was a big reason why they won. Memphis, 20 turnovers, and also the Thunder bench, the much-maligned Thunder bench without Enes Kanter. They really stepped up. They scored 45 points. They hit 13 of 26 from the three-point line again. To me, that's a little bit of fool's gold. I'd rather the Thunder attack and get to the basket, but they knocked them down on Friday night. They were hot, and they get a really nice win as they beat Memphis 114-102. Also, Cleveland, on Saturday night, they held on to beat New York 111-104. They were up by 27 points in that game, but they had to hold on to win. LeBron James, with another double-double for him, 30 points and 10 assists. Kevin Love was back in the lineup, 23 points and 16 rebounds. No Kyrie Irving. He was out because of an injury. They hit 16 threes. They took 40 threes. That's a lot of three-pointers to attempt, but still, they were knocking them down. The ball movement was excellent as well. For New York, Carmelo Anthony scored 17 points, but on 6 of 20 shooting, Brandon Jennings, he scored 23 points, but they shot just 45% from the field, and they missed 14 free throws. Those fundamentals really costly for New York, finding ways to lose. At least give them credit, at least New York, at least they fought hard, and they had a chance at the end to win the game, so I give them credit. They did a much better job defensively because they really struggled defensively. But they were much better in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter, but it wasn't enough. Cleveland gets a win there. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, you can call me at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. If you want to talk Super Bowl, we still can. I told you that the Patriots win 34-27. I was 1 point off, so you want to give me some props? I'm down for that. You want to give me some props? I need some props. Please do that. You can call me up. It's not too late. 1-646-929-0429. Turn our attention back to the NBA. On Sunday, Oklahoma City, they got past Portland, beating them 105-99. Russell Westbrook, 42 points, on 16 of 34 shooting, so they shot a pretty good percentage. 8 assists, only 4 rebounds for Russell Westbrook, but he has some help. Victor Oladipo had a double-double, 24 points and 13 rebounds. Andre Roberson, he's had 14 points and 11 rebounds. He did a great job of not settling for that three-point shot. He did a great job of cutting, attacking, getting to the basket. That's when Andre Roberson's at his best, when he's attacking and getting to the basket, not settling for threes. They're going to give you threes when you can't shoot them. Don't do that. Just attack and get to the basket. Cut, and that's what he did on Sunday. Also, Oklahoma City did a great job on the glass. He had 17 offensive rebounds, so that was big as well. Better perimeter defense in the second half. After giving up 8 threes in the first half, they only gave up 2 threes in the second half. So a much better job with the perimeter defense. So that was key as well. For Portland, Damian Lillard, he scored 29 points and had 7 assists. C.J. McCollum scored 19 points as well, but it wasn't enough. Again, a really nice win for Oklahoma City. And look, you know, without Kanter, things are going to be tough, obviously. So you got to piece together wins, and that's what they did this weekend. They played and give the bench credit. And I like how Oklahoma City is giving Anthony Morrow more playing time. I think he can be a big difference maker, helping space the floor. So I like the fact they're giving him more playing time as well. Oklahoma City is doing a great job on the glass. And just their defense, especially without Kanter, it's going to have to be really top-notch. Their defense has to be up there. But Russell Westbrook, again, playing some great basketball, outstanding basketball, getting triple-doubles, making triple-doubles look easy. Don't forget, he's averaging a triple-double. This hasn't been done since Oscar Robertson back in 1960. Just think, what were you doing in 1960? That is amazing to me. All the great players that have come through, Russell Westbrook's playing some amazing. Now, he takes some bad shots at times. He turns the ball over too much at times, but give him credit. He's playing some outstanding basketball right now. And then finally on Sunday, Boston did beat the Clippers 107-102. 7 Boston Celtics were in double figures, led by Isaiah Thomas, who scored 28 points. Get this, they attempted 2 threes, not 16 of them down, but man, that's a lot of threes to be attempting. 52. Blake Griffin, he scored 23 points at 8 rebounds. Jamal Crawford added 23 points off the bench. They were 10 of 29 from the 3-point line were the Clippers, so that was the difference in the basketball games. Boston's ability to knock down a couple more threes than the Clippers, but you don't want to rely on that three. And I did see that the Golden State Warriors lost to Sacramento on a Saturday night. DeMarcus Cousins had a big time game in that one. Kerr was kicked out of the game, but look, I mean, that's going to happen. I don't want to make excuses for Golden State, but that's going to happen. You're going to have games like that where you go on the road, you take a team likely, you think, oh, it's Sacramento, we'll easily beat them, but hey, look, Golden State is 43-8, they're fine, so I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday. Kevin Durant makes his return to Oklahoma City, so looking forward to that. We'll talk more about that on Friday's show. Again, thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget, my next show will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time. We'll talk NBA. We'll talk college basketball. We'll even get into some NFL topics. I've heard some different rumors. We'll talk about Terrell Owens. I do want to talk about T.O. not getting into the Hall of Fame. I want to talk about that as well on Friday, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk anything in the world of sports. Talk on Mo Sports Talk on Friday. So have a blessed rest of your week. God is good. Trust in Him, and we'll talk to you next time on Mo Sports Talk.